I mean, I have failed to do this for now for some weeks, it appears. But Connie had given this for needs that we have in the food pantry. So you want to write them down or take note of them. Several items, individual boxes of cereal. We need a tuna helper, rice-a-roni, hamburger helper. I don't know what this, suddenly salad mix. That's a new one for me. Scalloped potatoes, spaghetti sauce, canned chicken, and evaporated milk, okay? All right, there we are. So anything like that. Don't forget the food pantry. We don't say a lot about it, but don't forget the food pantry. And just keep that in mind. Also, you know, I just have it in my heart. Here we're in the first weeks and months of the year, and we've started a new book. And it's right here. It is a copy of it. I just wanted you to look at it. You know, Secrets to Spiritual Power from the Writings of Watchman Nee. And I just want to just remind you of that and what a wonderful book that it is. What a wonderful book it is. Let me just read this. I just feel like it. So this comes from the 25th chapter. It's called The Life That Wins. And this is page 125. And it just a little few lines. How do we obtain Christ as our victory? On the subtraction side, it is the experience, quote, it is no longer I who live, Galatians 2:20. On the addition side, it is, quote, Christ lives in me, verse 20. Okay, so anyway, I just felt like bringing that this morning. And really, you know, the reason I am doing this is for your good. Okay, and you know, you can get this, I think, you know, Kindle, you can get it that way, want it however you want, order it, Amazon, you can order it, you know, and it's a book to read, but a book to study. We're not trying to get through it fast, right? You know, read things over and over and pray about them. I'm telling you right now that you're going to find a blessing. Okay, you're going to find a blessing. You know, you gotta feed your spirit, right? You gotta feed your spirit, and you know, hopefully that, as I feed you on the word of the Lord, which is just a little part, right, of our being able to go forward in the Lord, and we're not to just live off of a Sunday morning thing. Are you seeking God for yourself? If you seek him, he's given promise in his word that you shall find him. Are you with me there? You will find him. And this is for those that do not know him, and it's also for those that do know him, that we seek the Lord. You know, if we're trying to live off of a Sunday morning thing, we're not going to get very far. We're not going to get very far because our God is not a Sunday morning God. You know, he is not. In James, it talks about, do you not know that he jealously desires the spirit that he has made to dwell within us? That's in James chapter 4. You know, in other places, that our God is a jealous God. Our God is a jealous God, you know, and he wants you, okay? He wants you. He wants me. And I want you to know that, you know, he's not ho-hum about you. He's not ho-hum about you in any way. You know, he loves you, you know. And I just want to tell you that there's no one that loves you the way that Jesus loves you. There's no one that loves you the way that Jesus loves you. There's no one that ever will love you the way that Jesus loves you. There is no one that ever can love you the way that Jesus loves you. And when you let him and you let his love fill your heart, do you know that that will make you whole? That will make you whole. You can run around all you want. It's sad to say that many people do it all their lives, that they got something that drives them deep inside that they don't even understand what it is that's driving them. But it's there. Sometimes it's intense, and sometimes it's not quite as intense, but there's a driving thing that goes on in the heart of men. And that is a need. And that need can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be filled with all the other things. It's so sad to see that people run after so much. They run after so much, you know, but they cannot fill that thing up. Oh, you know, they'll put a Band-Aid over it for just a little while. But, you know, when you put a Band-Aid over something that needs stitches, it just isn't going to hold. It just isn't going to hold. And this is what happens. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves back in that same place, in that same place. And then they try to run from it. They try to run from it in any way they can. I mean, that describes the life of every single one of us. That describes the life of every single one of us. You know, and come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Him with all of your heart. Not some of your heart. You know, not a little bit of your heart. You know, the quality standard of making covenant with God is that you give Him your whole heart. You know, there's a lot of people that give their heart to Jesus, but they do not give their whole heart. Where you begin to find covenant life and covenant power in your life is when you come to the Lord and you give Him your whole heart. This is the covenant requirement and standard of God. Now, when you did it or when you do it, you may not really fully comprehend that that's what you did or what was going on. You didn't. It's not a matter of intellectual understanding, but it is a matter of surrender of the heart. You know, and when you surrender up your heart and you give Him your whole heart, then you have entered into covenant with Almighty God. You know, there are many people, they give a part of their heart. They give some of their heart. They give a little bit of their heart. You know, but then there's other things in their lives that they do not give the Lord. It's not a total surrender to Him. God's not going to bargain with you. He's not going to bargain with you. God's not in the bargaining business. He's not in the bargaining business. You know, you give Him everything. He'll take care of it for you. He'll make the path. He'll make the way. He'll show you the way. You know, but He wants all of you. There's a lot of the church that doesn't understand that. You know, so, you know, what has your heart, if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, from a scriptural standpoint, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself because this is not my message, but you understand what you love, if you're not loving the Lord with all of your heart, is called an idol. It's called an idol. And there are idols of the heart. And there are many people who have idols in their heart, and Jesus becomes just one of them. It's like having a shelf over here, you know? You got a shelf over here. Oh, and you got this thing right there, and you love that. And you got this thing right here, you love that. And you got Jesus right here, you love Him. And then you got that over there, and you love that, and you love this over here. But you don't really love Jesus any more than you love any of these other things that are in your heart. Oh, you love the Lord, but you don't love Him anymore. He doesn't have your whole heart. There's a lot of Christianity being presented that way. We're living in a dangerous time, and that dangerous time is this easy believism. You know, it is free. It is free for the asking, the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord will save you gloriously. And He will bring the transforming power of God into your life. You know, for whosoever will, Romans 8 says, whosoever will. If you come to the Lord and give your heart to the Lord, you know, you don't qualify it. You don't qualify it. You just give all that you are. You know, you don't qualify it. You don't have to go down the row and pick out the things. You just come and you give all that you are. You know, and then the Lord takes you, and He is faithful, and that He is true. But this easy believism spirit that has entered into the church in this day and hour, it's always been there, but I've never seen it like it is now. I've never seen it like it is now. And the reason is because the motivations that are going on. Motive is very important. Your motive in seeking God, my motive, that's what God looks at. He doesn't look at the outward thing. You know, I can say, oh, glory and praise God, you know, but He sees that. But it's not the outward thing. It's the inward thing. He sees the heart. He sees the heart, you know. And so what's happened in a lot of motives that are going on, you know, is that, you know, all we care about is really is how many people we can get in this place, you know. And let's make it as convenient as we possibly can. Let's make it just to, you know, I mean, you can sit down and you can watch a 2.5 hour ball game and you're okay. But my gosh, you know, man, I don't want to go to that church because they go over an hour. All right, God. Okay, we're here. Here we are. Right now, you got about 55 more minutes. And then we're out of here, buddy. You better do it within the 55 minutes. And then the Christian sits over here and says, I don't know why we don't see more of God. Why don't we see more of God? I can't figure it out. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Why don't we see more of God, you know? Now he's got 45. Okay, but why don't we see more of God? Those people will never see God. Now, you know, God is merciful and gracious. He's a whole lot more merciful and gracious than I am, you know. You know, when there'd be lots of times when I'd say, enough! You know, God's not like me. Praise the Lord, okay? He's not like me. But, you know, he's gracious, and he gives touches. He gives touches. He'll touch you here. He'll touch you there. You know, and they're motivational touches, right? They're motivational touches. They're motivational touches to so that what we will do is say, oh, that was really nice, you know. I kind of liked that. You know, my goodness, this thing in Jesus, you know, it's not this dry, you know, be stiff as a board in church, you know, and, you know, miserable the whole time that you're there, you know, just as miserable as you can get, you know, because there's no life, there's no presence of God, there's no Spirit of God, and, you know, let's get it done with and get out of here. You know, that's what, you know, have in a lot of churches, you know, but you got to let God move. And if you don't let God move, he'll give those touches. He'll give those touches and their encouragements. He gives them individually and he gives them as a church body, right? So that church body will press in more to the Lord. We press into the Lord individually, but we also ought to be pressing into the Lord corporately. Are you with me there? Because there's just great power. There's just great power in the touch of Almighty God when it's his people that come together. Matter of fact, you know, I'm going to set that aside just a minute, and I may switch gears, but I'm going to kind of go through with this just a minute. Would you go over to Acts chapter 4? Will you do that? I want you to go over to Acts chapter 4. You know, these are just things that I'm going to lift up to us. I had absolutely really no thought of these things, but they're things that I feel pressed on in the Lord. And so even the scripture, I'm going to turn to it here. You know, but the evil one wants to create a fragmentation in the body of Christ. He wants to create a fragmentation in a local body. You know, we're just too busy for God. You know, and then, you know, someone will say, and the standard is so low. You know, the standard is, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with me doing that? Huh? What's wrong with that? There may be absolutely nothing wrong with the thing in itself. That is not the point. The point is that we're growing in that lordship of Jesus Christ. You give your heart to the Lord and you declare Jesus as the Lord of your life. And when you declare him, well, wait a minute. Do you think that the day that you declared Jesus as Lord of your life, that he became literally Lord of everything? I don't think he did, do you? Right? You understand, you know, you made a commitment to the Lord. You made a commitment to the Lord. And now the Lord is faithful to fulfill the commitment that you have made to him. Oh, man, I want to tell you what. It's a fearful thing to give your heart to Jesus. You know, I mean, and the reason I say that is because he'll take you up on it. Okay? He'll take you up on it. Right? You know, if you're here and you're running from God, make this the day that you stop running from the Lord. Because it's not going to get better. It might even get worse before it gets better. Are you with me there? You know, because I want to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you that our God is in the business of saving souls. He wishes for none to perish, right? But that we all be saved. Hell, I don't even have a handle on hell. I've preached on heaven and hell, but I don't even really have a handle, a really firm grasp at all. How could we? Of what the Word of God talks about is an eternal damnation. You know, I mean, it's worth anything. It's worth everything. It's worth all things. That whatever it costs, it don't matter what it costs. Whatever it costs you, it just doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you right now, not in light of eternity. Not in light of eternity. You know, you pay the price. Let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord have his way. Stop running today. And when I say running, you know, people go to church and run from God all the time. Okay? I mean, I'm telling you right now. You know, people go to church. You know, and that's part of their appeasement with God. That's part of loving the Lord not with their whole heart. They don't love the Lord with their whole heart. They have a love for God. They have a love for God. It's not a matter that they don't love God. They have a love for God, but they do not love the Lord with their whole heart. And so it becomes a part of their appeasement. Are you following me there? It's part of their appeasement. They feel like they're given God's fair share. The rest of it belongs to me. Right? I give God my fair share of me, and the rest of it belongs to me. This is not scriptural. This is called a lie. Okay? You do not get to choose how you will love the Lord. You do not get to choose how you will love the Lord. That is a clear sign as to who's on the throne of your heart, and it's not Jesus. And I love God my way. I do what I want, you know, when I feel like it. Right? That's not the lordship of Jesus Christ. Where did we ever get the idea that you just give God wherever he wants and he's just happy? Right? Huh? You know, he's just happy. Oh, you know, it's okay. You don't have to give me all of you. Oh, just give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit, and I'm just perfectly happy with all of that. That's called a deception. Jesus died for our sins. The Word of God says that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, come on now. Jesus died, came from the bosom of the Father, and he died for my sins, and he died for your sins, that I could be delivered from the sentence of death and hell, and I could have eternal life. But I come to him and I give my life as Jesus gave his life. You follow me? That's why we give our whole heart. We give our whole heart. We give our whole heart because he gave his whole heart life. And that's where you enter into covenant with God. Those who give a little bit of their heart never see the power of God. It's just words. You know? And then they explain it away. And they'll find some good theologians that will help them explain it away. Right? Now, you know, the kingdom of God operates different from the kingdom of the world. Okay? Now, you know, you may have a PhD, you know, in mathematics, and, you know, boy, you know a lot more than the rest of us, you know, when it comes to mathematics. But you have a PhD in any kind of religion, and it in itself means absolutely nothing. Hopefully it will. Oh, you've learned a bunch of things, but it's not a matter of learning things. It's a matter of knowing things. It's not a matter of learning things, because you can gain all the intellectual knowledge that you want, but you don't know Jesus by that intellectual knowledge, because coming to know him is from the heart, not from the head. It's not from the intellect, it's from the spirit. And then we live a life of a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how thrilling, how thrilling, how thrilling it is to have a fellowship and to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and then you grow deeper in that relationship. There's nothing like fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come to you if you invite him. He will come to you if you invite him. And you just surrender to him. He will come to you and he will fill your heart. He'll bring healing, healing in every way that you need healing. And, you know, and he saves us, and then he keeps us by the power of his might, because we follow him and we love him. You know, it's like a marriage, right? You know, okay, well, yeah, and you standing up there on that day, right? You know, and you said, I do, you know, and oh, dear honey, I love you so much, right? And then, you know, 10 years goes by, and, you know, you hadn't said what you said on that day. Oh, dear honey, I love you so much. You hadn't said that since. I think there's going to be a little bit of unhappiness in that home, don't you? We say that's reasonable. But we don't apply that to God, do we? Right? We don't apply that to God in any way, because we got this mentality that we're free, that we're our own. If you're free and you're your own, you're still in your sins. If you're free and you know from God and you live for yourself, you're still in your sins, because that's the surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Right? I'll read that scripture in just a minute. I haven't forgotten. You know, the Word of God says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. You know? Can you imagine that? Hell wasn't created for anybody to go to. God never intended for anyone to go to hell. But you are an eternal spirit man. Okay? You are going to live forever. Do you hear me? You are going to live forever. You know, one day they'll lay this body of mine in the grave. I'm not dead. I got news for you, okay? I'm not dead, right? You know, I've been translated up into the heavens in the presence of my Lord, my God, and my King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will be living with him throughout all eternity, because I gave my heart to him. You know, but can you imagine? So when, you know, you pass away in your sins, you know, and you know, you're not going to go to heaven like that. Jesus died for your sins, for you could receive the cleansing from your sins just by, you know, freely by grace through faith that you believe upon him, giving him your whole heart. Right? He'll perfect it. And, you know, give him yourself. Make a surrender to him. Right? And, you know, when you do that, you go to heaven. But, you know, if you die in your sins, there's no place for you. Where are you planning on going? That's kind of terrible, isn't it? Terrible thoughts. Absolutely terrible thoughts. That's why it's worth whatever it costs to avoid hell. Oh, I know that's old style, you know. People, you know, afraid of hell, preach afraid of hell in order to get saved. But there's nothing wrong with us hearing it just a little bit. You know? Nothing wrong with us hearing it just a little bit. Amen. You know, I'll read this because, and I'll just read a few other things. Here is in Acts in chapter 4, and you know, and they had imprisoned the disciples here, and then they had let them go. And then when they got back together with their people, it says here in Acts 4, verse 24, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices. Now look at this. They lifted their voices to God. Now look here, in one accord. In one accord. You know, this was all of them together. And said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say. Then he quotes scripture. Let me read it quickly. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the people and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Now look at this part. To do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. You know, in another place that when they came to Jesus in the garden, they came to Jesus in the garden, and he basically had said, you know, this hour of darkness has been given to you. Do what you will. And then, you know, that Jesus stood before Pilate, and he said, you know, you don't answer me. You don't answer me. You know, and he said, do you not know that I could call upon my Father and he would send a legion of angels? Now, if you'll look that up, a legion is a 600,000. Do you know that Jesus at any point, do you know that Jesus at any point could have said, Father, I don't want to do this? Huh? Do you know that? Do you know that at any one point in time that Jesus, he didn't do it under compulsion. He did it freely under love. He had not sinned. He was not guilty. You know, this was the will of the Father, not the command of the Father. It was the will of the Father. And Jesus went to the cross willingly. Not under compulsion. And at any one particular point. And in the garden, if you remember, man, it's really something to read. You know, in the garden, you know, Jesus was sweating, as it says, like great drops of blood, right? You know, in the garden. I mean, don't you think that this thing was some small little thing to Jesus? Don't you think that this was some small little thing to Jesus? He's getting ready to give himself as a sacrifice for sin. For sinners, not his sin. For the sins of others. And it says that he sweat like great drops of blood. And he cried out and he said, Father, take this cup from me. And then right behind it he prayed, but not thy will, but thy will be done. It was probably a good thing that he said that at that point, because I think the troops were probably getting ready to rally up there in heaven. Did you know he did that three times? Huh? Did you know that Jesus prayed that prayer three times in that garden? Now, what do you see out of that? Now, that was struggle, wasn't it? Huh? Was that struggle? That was struggle. When we see it very clearly that this was not something that Jesus wanted to go do. As a matter of fact, we find very clearly that the Word of God says in Hebrews, it says that he despised the shame. He despised it. My goodness gracious. Well, here they were praying and they were praying together, and that purpose of God was being fulfilled because Jesus submitted totally and completely to it. And then it came to verse 29 and it says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bond servants may speak thy word with all confidence." And then it goes on in verse 30 and says, and while thou doest extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant, Jesus." And then again in verse 31, "And when they had prayed," you remember back up here in 24, it says that they were all of one accord. They were all of one accord. Verse 31, "And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." I believe that God still does that. I believe he still will do it. You know, this is why the evil one tries to create so much fragmentation in the body of Christ and in the church, so that the people of God will never come to that place. So that the people of God will never come to that place. Because there are requirements in seeing the power of God. You know, and the requirement is not 20 more minutes, God. 20 more minutes. If you're going to do it, you better do it now. Because we all got to go to lunch. No, I'm not talking about laboring over things in the flesh and, you know, and just for labor's sake or for time's sake. But there is a place for us to come together and pray and God bring a breakthrough. Right? There's a place for that, for us to come together and pray and seek the face of the Lord and ask God to bring a breakthrough. Because when he brings a breakthrough, that's when his harvest comes. Are you with me there? That's when his harvest comes. Because I can tell you right now, God wants to bring a harvest. It's a matter, instead of us praying over here and saying, "God, bless what we're wanting you to bless over here. Bless these activities, oh Lord God. Bless these labors here, oh Lord God. Bless these works here, oh Lord God." But God's not, he's not going to do it. You know, he's not going to do it. What he wants us to do is to come over here and say, "Lord, what is your will? And how do you want to do this? And Lord, we're presenting ourselves to you as your servants." We present ourselves in powerlessness. And as we present ourselves in powerlessness, that's when he comes with his power. Right? When we got no more plans. Are you with me there? When we got no more plans. You know, we keep praying, "Oh, bless my plan here, Lord God." Let me tell you a little bit about the spirit of entertainment. Right? That's really what has kind of taken over the church today. All right, is a spirit of entertainment. That spirit of entertainment does not touch God. It does not touch God. That spirit of entertainment does not fill hearts. That spirit of entertainment does not deliver people. That spirit of entertainment does not bring personal victory to anyone. It's almost like a pep rally mentality. And you got to keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Because you got to keep the people interested. You got to keep them interested. And you got to keep them interested. You got to keep that entertainment going, you know, and you better cut it off at the right time. All right. So, you know, you got to keep that spirit of entertainment. And that's how you hold them. That's how you hold them. That's how you keep them. That's how you keep them. Do you really think that that's what the disciples did? You think they did that? But this is what the church does today. And as long as it looks right on the outside, we just don't care about nothing else. You know, God's looking for a people that will come together, that people that will begin to humble themselves, that will begin to pray and begin to seek God and come together, there's a cost involved. There's a cost individually to go on in the Lord. If you're going to go on in the Lord, I'm sorry, it's going to cost you something. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. But it's also not only for an individual, it's for a body. Are you with me there? It's for a body. Can you imagine what happened here on that day? You imagine, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, they were already filled, but you understand that the thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you understand it's a continual work? Huh? Oh, you know, somebody says, well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit back when. Wonderful. That is just good news. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit now? Now. Are you living back then? Or where are you now? Where is your experience now? Where is your experience on February the 23rd, 2025? Where are you now? Not where you were. I praise God for everything that I've experienced in Jesus that I can look back on and say glory to God for it. But I'm not living off of it. Right? Yes, there is a place to put your foot down and say, this is when I got saved, praise God. There's a place to put your foot down and say, oh, praise the Lord, this is when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, they, I want to tell you, they were already baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you understand they were now being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do just what they'd been praying about. They were going to be speaking with power and glory and boldness. And by the power, they were under an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And in that anointing, oh, the servant Jesus was going to be pouring out his power too. When a people of God begin to let God have his way, then the Spirit of God begins to cooperate with them because they begin to line themselves up with him, not looking for him to line themselves up with them. This is the way of the Lord. This is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is not only for us individually, it's for us corporately. You can be filled with the Spirit. God will fill you. He will anoint you. He has an assignment for you. Make no doubt about it. You count and you matter. You count and you matter. Oh, you know, let the others do it. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a real good one. Yeah. Oh, I've already done mine. Let the young people do it now. Why don't you just declare how dead you really are spiritually? I can't do it no more. It's their turn. I wish I could find that scripture in there. Because I haven't found it yet. Why don't we be on fire till we hit the grave? Huh? Why don't we be on fire till we hit the grave?